Well, here in Isaiah 23, we got this prophecy about Tyre. And critics will point out that not everything that's said about Tyre actually came true. And I think that they are overlooking the nature of a lot of Bible prophecy, which is that it is conditional. And although the conditions may not be stated, it is still conditional. I mean, you take what God said to Nineveh. In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. There are absolutely no conditions mentioned. But the king of Nineveh thought that, well, okay, let's see, we'll repent. We should repent anyway. And God was so impressed that that city was not destroyed. And so God says in Jeremiah that he says things about a nation, and if they repent, it won't happen. And he may speak blessing about somebody, but if they don't act as required, then that blessing will not come about. That is not to say that his prophecies, as it were, are fake. No, that is rather like saying to a child, when you pass your maths exam, I will get you a new bicycle. Well, that is a conditional promise. If it happens you don't get the new bicycle because the child doesn't pass the maths exam, well, that doesn't mean that you're a false prophet. It means that the conditions weren't met. And so you come here to verse 15 of Isaiah 23. It will come to pass in that day that Tyre will be forgotten 70 years according to the days of one king or one kingdom. And then at the end of 70 years, it will be to Tyre like in the song of the prostitute. And then we seem to have a quotation from this song of the prostitute, which seems to be the song of an elderly prostitute who now at the end of a profligate life realizes that she's lived a bad way, she's regretting it, and she repents. I think that's the idea, that there would be 70 years domination of Tyre, and then she repents. And verse 17, after the end of 70 years, Yahweh will visit Tyre. And the next part of the verse, I think, is better in the Septuagint to make sense with verse 18. And she shall be a market for all the kingdoms of the world on the face of the earth. Her merchandise and her wages will be holiness to Yahweh, that is, devoted to the work of the sanctuary. Remember how the priest, the high priest, had on his mitre holiness to Yahweh. It will not be treasured nor laid up, for her merchandise will be for those who dwell before Yahweh to eat sufficiently. So then, idea is 70 years of exile, and in fact earlier in this chapter we seem to read in verses 6 and 12 that Tyre was going to go into exile in places like Carthage, that they would go in these ships of Tyre or Tarshish into captivity. But then at the end of this Babylonian domination, I think that's the idea, that Babylon was to dominate Tyre for 70 years, then she would repent, even though she was like a prostitute singing the song of the old prostitute, the repentant, profligate woman at the end of her life who repents, and then she is accepted by God. God visits her, and all her merchandise revives, and she devotes it to Yahweh, to his sanctuary. Well, I think what we're seeing here is that Tyre is being put in parallel with Judah, because this was what was to happen to Judah. They were to go into exile for 70 years under Babylon, and then the intention was that they would repent and that they would recognize that they had played the prostitute to Yahweh, as Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea all make this point. And then a temple would be rebuilt in Jerusalem, the kingdom would be restored, and then they would support that system. But that didn't happen. And it didn't happen because Judah did not repent. The word for return means to return and also to repent, and the prophets make a big play on this. The fact is that the majority of Jews who were in Babylon or Persia did not repent, and therefore these prophecies didn't come true. It's as simple as that. They were given in Ezekiel 40 to 48 the blueprint for a wonderful temple system under a new covenant, not the law of Moses, but another kind of law. But they didn't really do that. And so when the temple was, or a temple was built, some people cried, realizing that they'd simply not lived up to the potential, and other people rejoiced because they didn't perceive that actually, although they had some sort of a functioning temple, it was not the temple that God had commanded and intended. So I think that if that had happened, then perhaps Tyre also would have followed the same pattern. But they didn't. Now, in the end, all these prophecies come true in their essence. Although they are reinterpreted, they are recalculated, they are reapplied. For example, all the prophecies about the restoration of Judah from captivity, leaving Babylon, etc., these are reapplied to us. And in Daniel 9, Daniel is basically knocking on God's door saying, look, the 70 years are up. Why haven't you acted? And it's true, God didn't act. He hadn't restored the people as promised. It is absolutely facile to think that all the Jews, people of Judah, went into captivity in Babylon, and then 70 years later, Cyrus makes a decree, and they all come back, and all the prophecies get fulfilled. No, that's not what happened at all. The majority of them remained there in captivity, and as we know from Haggai, Zechariah, Ezra, Nehemiah, the few who did return did not really live up to the expectation upon them. They did not fulfill the prophecies as required. They were not repentant. There is not a word of their repentance. And so that 70-year period is reinterpreted by God in Daniel 9, and Daniel's told that, well, it's going to be 77s. It's going to be a very long time. And as I say, the idea of 70 years is then reinterpreted. This is not to say that prophecy failed. It is to say that the conditions were not met. Because when you think about it, if prophecy is determinate, if God says, look, I said this, I said that you're going to repent and come back to the land, and therefore you're going to have to repent to fulfill my word. Well, that would sort of be God dominating man. That would be God treating man like a kind of circus animal, sort of prodding and forcing repentance. And of course, that's not what God wants. We have free will, and whilst human beings have free will, there is always the possibility that his program, his intended program, will not come about. And indeed, it doesn't at times. But God is not beaten by human weakness. He reinterprets, recalculates, reapplies his prophetic words. So don't be fazed when people say, but this stuff about Tyre didn't come true. Well, yeah, in that sense not, because the whole wider picture that the prophets predict and present didn't come about, because Israel would not. Now, if you apply all that to your own life, there were plans that God had for you, for me anyway, and we did not enable all the potential to come about. It doesn't mean that God gave up with us. It means that he recalculates and readjusts that purpose that he has with us. And we likewise, when you look at the weakness of other people, should not just give up with people, but okay, you have to recalculate your position with them, but so be it. That is actually what God has done with you and me, and it's what he did with Israel. And yet his love makes him keep hold of them. That's the thing. And of course, if we personally, even if the people of God generally don't, but if we personally repent and go with his program, then all will finally work out. And he who shall come will come. And that, I think, is the wonder of when Jesus finally does come, that after all the human failures and all the recalculations that God has had to do to keep his whole sort of project with us actually in operation, despite all our sinfulness and weakness. But finally, Jesus will come. Finally, the dead will be raised. And finally, God's kingdom shall come upon this earth.